of his preaching and your preaching. Some say that you are Elijah, the prophet of old. Some say that you're Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And some others. And Jesus turned to them and said, but how about you? Whom say ye that I am? What do you think? And Peter speaks up. And he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me say that again. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We recognize you as the Messiah. You're the Christ of glory. You're the anointed one that's been promised for all of these centuries. And I want to stop right here. That statement that Peter made. And then Jesus answered and said these words in the 18th verse. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I want to hesitate, and I want everyone to get what I'm going to say right now. That has been that statement that Jesus made has been debated for centuries. There were all kinds of theories about really what Peter said and then what Jesus said. And some have had the idea that Jesus was saying that the church would be built on Peter. But I want to be as loud as I can and as forceful as I can. The church had not built on Peter. If it was, it would have fallen a long time ago. The church is built on none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is really saying, and upon that testimony of what you've just said, the church will be built and I will build it. Thank God that our salvation is not dependent upon Peter, nor James, nor John, nor Philip, nor Bartholomew, nor any of the others, only Jesus. I have three questions that have been raised that I would like to mention this morning. First, some have asked about who actually is building the church. Who is it that's building the church? And I thought when that question has been raised, so plain right here in the 18th verse that Jesus said these words, I will build my church. Now it seems to me that if one anywhere, anybody could understand the words of Jesus, I will build it. Not Brother Jones. Not this one, not that one. And I'm going to run down a list if I may. That when Jesus said, I will build my church, that excludes everybody else. That excludes Mohammed of Islam and L. Ron Hubbard of Scientology. They're excluded. That excludes Joseph Smith and Brigham Young of the Mormons. That excludes Ellen G. White and William Miller of the Seventh-day Adventists. That excludes Charles Taz Russell and Judge Rutherford of the Jehovah's Witnesses. That excludes Herbert Armstrong and his son Garner Ted of the Worldwide Church of God. That excludes Mary Baker Eddy of the Christian Science Church. That excludes everybody except Jesus. I will build my church, Jesus said. Hallelujah. So I leave this with you. The first question has been settled already. It has been said by the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Jesus said it, that he's the living God, Jesus Christ. When Peter said that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I want you to know that Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one that is doing the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter said, Paul said something else that I want to bring to us in this first point. Paul said, yet you and I are laborers together with him. Now, I want us, this is not Bible study, but I want us to get it. Jesus said, I will build it. Paul said, but we're laborers together with the Lord. So we must understand something that is very powerful, something real, that we must get it in our spirit and in our minds. When Jesus said that, and then Paul said it, he would like for us to know, and for you to know, and for me to know, that although we're laborers together with Jesus, he's the one that drew up the plans. He's the one that made the stipulations about the blueprint. He's the one that set the rules. He's the one that decided which materials to use. He's the one that is doing the building. He's the one, listen to this, he's the one that's got it all under control. Everything is right on time. Some people might have the idea, well, Brother Jones, I thought he would come before now. He's going to come right on the right time. Mark that down. If 10,000 people prophesy and say he's coming tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, forget those 10,000 people. No man will know. But Jesus said, I will build my church. What a statement. Excluding all of these others round about, because he is the one that's got every detail under control. He's the master builder, and you can mark it down. He's right on schedule, and it could be completed at any moment. And I want to bring something out here that you hope you'll stay with you when that moment comes and the church is completed, and the trumpet sounds, and that trumpet sounding is a sound that the church is completed. When that trumpet sounds, you want to be in the church. You want to be a part of the church. You want to be a member of the church. I hope you understand. We're not talking about joining a Abundant Life Tabernacle. We're talking about being a part of the family of God. When the church is completed, and I'll use it this way, Jesus is continuing to save people. And one of these days, he's going to save the last person to make up the church. Wouldn't it be something if it happened in this altar? Someone responds and say, I want to be saved. I realize I'm a sinner. Would you pray with me? And they bow their heads and pray, Lord, forgive me. And the Lord hears and answers and forgives. And at that very moment, the church is complete. And the trumpet sounds. And the church is caught out. If you're not a part of the church, it's time to get in. It's time now to get in. Jesus said, I will build it. I will build the church. And the second part that I had as I was going through sermon notes or thinking about this and preparing, the second part is, who actually is the church? And that's a question that a lot of people have had difficulty with. Let me just tell you something. Pick up your paper tomorrow morning. Look on the obituary page. If you read the obituaries, most everybody that dies is going to heaven, according to the obituary page. People live ungodly. And some people say, well, they're in heaven now. They're better off. They had cancer. They were eaten up with cancer, but they're better off now because there's no more suffering. If they were unsaved, they've just begun to suffer. We need to understand that. We hear people all the time, all the time. I was in a place this week, and somebody mentioned about the person was such a nice person in heaven, and the person lived without God, died without God, had no desire to serve God, no desire to live according to the Bible. Jesus said, I will build my church, and so the question is, who is the church? So I want to begin by saying something that's very strong. I want to tell you who the church is not. The church is not Baptist. And the church is not Methodist. And the church is not Catholic. And the church is not Pentecostal. And the church is not Abundant Light Tabernacle. The church is the born again. Saved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Believers. I want to make it as clear as I possibly can. It is not those who were saved. It's not those who did go to an altar. It's not those that were born again. It's those that are ready now. Some people have the idea that it's going to take more to go to heaven when you're alive than it is after you're dead. But it's going to take the same experience with God if you die before the rapture or if you're here when the rapture takes place. It's going to take the same experience. Amen, amen. I'm not here to water down anything, nor am I here to try to shortcut the gospel. I want everyone to know the church is made up of born-again believers, saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus. Anyone outside of that is outside the church. And when I said that statement, it is not what you have had, what experience you did have. The Bible is very plain. Paul said, we are the body of Christ. In another place, he said, we are the bride of Christ. John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul said something. John said something. Jesus said something. The church consists of those that are saved and stay saved. Get in and stay in. Start and keep going. Keep on walking. Continuing. Abiding. The Bible, Sister Goldie, years ago, went through the Bible, particularly the New Testament, picked out every scripture she could find about eternal security, what the Bible has to say about eternal security. She came out with a booklet, and I have it in my office, and we named it, If Ye Continue. Folks, I'll tell you who's in the church, those that are saved and will continue. Go on with God. We've had people around this altar, some standing out here testifying how that they love God, what God had done in their lives, and God had done a great thing in their lives. Their lives were changed. And I've heard them over and over, different ones, all around the altar over the years, how that they intended to go on with God. And today, some of those that I know went back on God and living in open sin. It's not those that had a testimony 20 years ago. It's when the Lord comes or when you're called out. Who's the church? It's the born again. Some denominations like to attach this to it and this to it and this to it. It's those walking in the light. It's those that are continuing on with the Lord. That's George Neff's favorite course. If we got to keep on walking, you've got to keep going. Who is the church? The blood bought. The saints. The redeemed. There are millions in sanctuaries today, literally millions in sanctuaries this morning or today because of the time, today, that believe that they are ready for heaven when they're not. And I'm not a judge, but I'm going to tell you what the judge is, who the judge is. Some people have never known a born-again experience. Never known what it's like to have your sins covered by the blood. When I got up from the altar that Sunday night in February 1955, I knew that I was a different person. God changed my vocabulary that fast. Can't pop it. That fast. God changed my habits. I didn't have to go to a 12-step program, nor a 7-step program, nor a 25-step program. God delivered me. Changed me. Saved me. And since that time, since 1955, you can figure it up. That's 58 years ago. I can't say to the Lord, I'm ready for heaven unless I keep on walking. I'm a part of the church unless I keep on going. I can't look back to Mountain Home, Idaho, February 1958 or 1955 and say, but God, don't you remember? Surely He knows. Folks, it's not what happened back there. It's what's going on right now. Help us, God. Who is the church? If they're across the street of the Baptist church, if they're born again, loving, serving God, they're part of it. Wherever they are, the saved, the saints of the Almighty God. We are not a close communion. Some people believe that if you're not a part of their group, that you're not going to make it. In the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, there's one verse. In the 16th verse, it says, something about the churches of Christ salute you. One man told me that's the only place in the Bible that the church has been given a name, and so if you're not a part of the church of Christ, you're not a part of the church. You have to be willfully ignorant to believe that. You can say amen. It's true. It's not the name on the door. It's not the name on the marquee. Not the name that we have abundant on top. And I like the name, but it's not the name. It's who lives in there. Who abides in your heart. Hallelujah. Who is the church? It's the born again believers. Saved by grace, walking in the light, serving God, obeying God, living for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mentioned what Paul said. I mentioned what John said. I mentioned what Jesus said. I'm going to go one step further here again. Think about it if you will. Peter said, ye also, as lively stones are built together, build up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Peter said, the church is a living church. The church is made up of living stones. So I want to clarify something. Before we got saved, we were dead. Just as dead as a stone. Stone dead. That's dead. That's what we were. And when we got saved, we had new life. And Peter says we are living stones. We are lively stones. Sometimes I wonder if, when I look around, when I'm preaching, I need all the help I can get. Help me. Like Sister Cousin would say when she went to say, help me. I need help. But listen, oftentimes I think we're not excited about what God has done for us, what we have in our hearts and in our lives. We're living stones. We're alive. Hallelujah. New life. Eternal life. One more statement. Abundant life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're alive right now, say amen. Amen. I'm just checking to see. I don't know whether everybody said that, and I hope you are. Hope you're alive spiritually. Who's building the church? Jesus. Who is the church? The born again. Let me just throw something out, and this is doctrinal, but let me just share it. I was asked to perform a religious ceremony. Recently, I was talking to someone who wanted me to do something, a ceremony. And so I began to talk to the people, to the person. And I'm not going to go into detail, but there's a lot of ritual and ceremony. There's a lot of things or tradition in the church world. And I hope you understand where I'm coming from. A lot of people are banking on tradition to get them the glory. We need the reality. We need something that is living, something that is alive, something that changes hearts and lives. And I'm glad today that I can announce and testify that when I got saved, I came alive. I found new life. And listen, it hasn't run out after all of these years. It's still real. Praise God, praise God. Some people have the idea. We had a lady come to visit us some years ago, and she'd been raised in the church, and she came and she said, Brother Jones, I thought I was going to see an old man that just couldn't hardly talk. You're still as loud as you ever were. And it's not just being loud, but this is the part. I thank God for life. Amen. For new life, born again, saved by grace. Man, we've got enough to shout about the rest of eternity. All of eternity. Who's building? Jesus is building the church. Who makes up the church? Every believer. Everyone serving God. Everyone going by the Bible, obeying God. He said, abide in me, and my words abide in you. And then you shall ask what you will. It's not just saying I'm abiding in Jesus. It's his word abiding in you. I preached one time a few months ago, maybe a year ago. Well, one thing that thou lackest. One thing I was preaching about the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, one thing thou lackest. And after that, two people came to me. About how that God spoke to their heart, about something in their lives. Let me say that again. We're way down the road right now. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't be lacking on anything. Get in there and obey God. how devastating it will be to miss the rapture because of one picayune thing that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. But you held on to it. God's speaking to your heart. Two people came to me and said, God spoke to me, showed me. And I wish I could tell you both of those people are following through today. But that's not the case. God spoke to them, stirred them for a while, and then it's gone. I might never preach again. This might be my last sermon. But I want you to know the truth. Jesus is building the church. And the church is made up of born-again believers that love God. The last thing I want to mention is the security of the church. We're living in a day when there's so much that's going against the Bible. So many doctrines. Some have said, Brother Jones, look at that church. They started about the same time you did, and they're running 2,000. Look at you. Some said, look at this gentleman over here in Texas, running 20,000 every Sunday. Look at Abundant Life Tabernacle. And I'm not here to put down huge congregations, and hope you understand that. In fact, I am praying that ours will grow. Amen. But I want you to understand the last part of the sermon, the security of the church. Jesus said these words, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me say that again. The gates of hell. The gates in that day, in the gates said the city council. They didn't have a courthouse. The city council sat in the gate and they made decisions. People brought their business transactions to the gate and they decided the things in the gate. Lot sat in the gate in Sodom on the city council. Decisions were made in the gate to send out an army to defeat the enemy. Decisions were made in the gate. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And when he said the gates of hell, he's talking about powers and principalities and darkness of the enemy. And Satan today is out to destroy the church. He's out to destroy your family. He's out to destroy your testimony. He's out to destroy the Bible. They're changing the Bible. Everything's falling right in line with the prophecies of the Bible. We're living in a day when people don't want to go God's way. They want to go their own way. And someone wants to know, how about the security of the church? Jesus said, I will build it and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Satan, with all that he has, let him loose every demon, every devil, every spirit out there that's evil. Let him do it. Let him get his big guns out. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Jesus was saying, when some people believe in the church is going under, I will know that Jesus is saying, no, it's not, it's going over. Some are saying the church is backslidden. Jesus said, no, it's not. The church is going to leave here victorious. Hallelujah. The church is going to be triumphant. We're going to go out of here with victory. Glory. Glory, glory. The church is not going to be defeated. I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to mention it again. I was elected superintendent of the conference in Arizona, June the 16th, 1962, on my 31st birthday. Too young to be a superintendent. Hadn't been in the ministry but 3 years. God had blessed us, and we had the largest church in the conference after 3 years. Went full-time in the ministry. Elected superintendent of a conference. It was a missions conference. Didn't have a whole lot to pick from, so they picked me. And when the conference was over at noontime and the camp meeting is completed the night before, conference is finished. I was elected superintendent. Some people were leaving the tabernacle, going to get their possessions and leaving to go back home, back to the churches. One lady said, God showed me that the conference is like a ship that's going down. Now, brother, that'll really inspire you when you've just been elected superintendent. She had been a leader in one of the churches. God showed me a picture of the church like a ship in the sea, and it's going down, down, down. And I'd just been elected just that morning. And I'm not here to boast at all. God forbid. But if God's in it, it's not going down. He's going to build it. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Shall not destroy it. Shall not bring it under. Shall not defeat it. I'm going to close and we're going to pray. I want you to know today I'm a part of a church that's victorious. Hallelujah. Say, Brother Jones, we're in need of a revival. Yes, sir. But I'm thanking God you can have the victory in your heart. Believing and trusting God. I am going over to the other side. I got saved at an altar all those years ago. And I made up my mind when I went to that altar, if God would save me and forgive me and take me back, that I'd serve him the rest of my life. I haven't crossed the finish line yet, but I'm getting close to it. I'm nearing the end of the journey. I'm not slowing down. Now, if you watch me run, you'd have to watch closely. When you're younger, you can just take off. But when you're older and running, it's sort of like not even a quick walk. I do walk a mile out there in the gym from time to time. Let me leave this with you. I'm going to leave here with victory. How do you know, preacher? Because I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to let the devil steal it from me. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to live for God every day. I'm part of the redeemed of the Lord. Something is in my legs even now. God's good. Hallelujah. What do you say, preacher? I believe I'm going to cross the finish line. Running. Praising God. Magnifying God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, this thing is real. It's real. It's real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Jones, have you lost your mind? Yes. Yes. I believe God, folks. I believe God. I'm going to keep on running. I'm going to cross the finish line. I'm going to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. I'm part of the church. I'm part of the church. I'm part of the church. My question today, if you're not a part, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm not asking about any denomination, any church membership. Have you been baptized in water? I'm not asking that. Are you saved by grace? Are you living in victory? Is Jesus ruling upon the throne of your heart? Do you love him with everything you have? Have you made him the Lord of your life? Brother, there's nothing better in the whole world than being saved and a part of the church of the living God. I hope these words ring out. Come to the piano, honey. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. I hope these words ring out in your ears when you go home in the rest of the week. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is the church builder. And when the time comes, he's going to take us out of here washed, clean, pure, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We're going to stand together and sing the first and last verses of Amazing Grace. Maybe you know the words. Stand with us if you will. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound to save the wretch like me. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Sing it.